Mail call from the United States of America. Stand by, Americans. Stand by, fighting men of the United Nations. Here's your special delivery airmail letter from the United States. It's mail call, an open letter to you from any American with anything worth saying, playing, or singing. It's mail call, the biggest slice of America we can send you in one radio envelope. Okay, America, start writing.
Hey, Groucho. Groucho Marx. Whatever happened to Groucho Marx?
That's what I keep asking myself. But I never get an answer. I think I'll turn it over to a detective agency.
Look, Groucho, you're supposed to start this letter.
I don't want you to think I'm hammy, Bill, but the least you can do is give me an introduction. After all, I haven't seen so many people since I had my relatives out for Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I'd be glad to introduce you, Groucho, but on this program, you just walk up without an introduction and start talking.
Oh, no, you don't. I tried that once with a blonde and got slapped silly.
Well, all right. All right, if you insist. Attention, men of the armed forces. In the past, as most of you know, Mail Call has brought you the top-notch guest stars of the entertainment world, such as Mickey Rooney, Edgar Bergen, Bing Crosby, Barbara Stanwyck, and others. But as you all know, all good things come to an end. After all, how long can we keep up that pace? So tonight, we bring you Groucho Marx.
What a reception. What an ovation. I can get a bigger hand than that just showing my spare tire. And another thing, Goodman, I didn't come down here to be insulted. I can stay home and be insulted.
Now, wait, Groucho, I wasn't trying to insult you. I thought you'd be happy to have your name linked with big stars, especially Barbara Stanwyck.
Sure, link me with Barbara Stanwyck. That's how those things always start. Scandalmongers like you dishing out dates. It's going to look great in the morning when Robert Taylor picks up the paper and reads where Groucho Marx is going around with Barbara Stanwyck. Don't forget, Bob Taylor reads the papers. Don't think that just because he's a movie star, he can't read.
Now, wait, Groucho, I didn't say that you were going with Barbara Stanwyck.
You don't have to say it. It'll be in all the papers tomorrow. You may not know, but it's generally known that Barbara Stanwyck and Robert Taylor are married. What's Robert Taylor going to think about this? Better still, what's Barbara going to think of it?
Well, I'm sorry if I said anything to get you in trouble.
Sure, now you're sorry after the damage is done. Normally, I wouldn't mind a little vicious gossip. But at the moment, I happen to be running around Hedy Lamarr. I mean, running around with Hedy Lamarr. In the future, I'll thank you to watch your tongue. You watch your tongue, and I'll watch Hedy Lamarr.
I didn't say you were going with Hedy Lamarr. I said Robert Taylor is going with Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh, now you've got Robert Taylor running around with Barbara Stanwyck. This is a fine state of affairs. A man running around with his own wife. What are the neighbors going to think? Suppose Judy Garland should walk in here and say, "Hiya, Groucho," right out of a clear blue sky.
"Hiya, Groucho," right out of a clear blue sky.
It's a good thing for that cue it isn't raining. You see, these days a man's not safe in his own radio studio. See you later, man.
"Hiya, fellas. This is Judy Garland. There's one thing you can say about this letter. It sure isn't formal. I guess this mail call microphone gets more surprises than any other mic on radio, because so many different people drop in to send a paragraph through it. Of course, the important thing is where it comes out. Through your loudspeakers up there in Alaska, or over the Bass Beach hits in North Africa, or through your headphones on the Seven Seas. See, everybody here at home is really anxious for his turn on mail call. And when we get here, we really want to make the most of every second. So let's stop the talk and start the tune. And it's I Never Knew."
"I've been running in circles while playing the game of pretending. I didn't realize I wasn't wise what love could do. Now I'm facing a future that hasn't that one happy ending. And I'm a fool, I guess, to confess it all to you. baby's smile could do. I can't sleep, I can't eat. I never knew a single soul could be so sweet, for I never knew I could love anybody, honey, like I'm loving you. I can't sleep and I can't eat. I never knew a single soul could be so sweet, for I never knew I could love anybody, honey, like I'm loving you.
Hello, fighting men of the United Nations. This is Jose Iturbi. For many years, I have been privileged to appear as concert pianist and conductor before the most distinguished audiences. But the most exciting performance of my career happened a few months ago. And I wasn't even there. I learned about it from a naval officer who had just returned from action in the South Pacific. He was on board of an American fighting ship which had sunk several enemy naval vessels. He told me that one group of men, while at their battle stations waiting for contact with the enemy, played a portable phonograph to relieve the tension. I cannot tell you how proud I was to learn that some of my records were among those played. Tonight, that ship is on the high seas again, and I hope those men are listening, because I would like to dedicate a number to them. I have chosen Sevillana by Albéniz.
Thank you.
Mr. Turby, that was really beautiful.
Thank you, Judy. I'm glad you like it.
I've always admired your artistry, Mr. Turby. I've listened to you in Carnegie Hall and on record.
I'm honored, Judy.
There's only one thing. I've been thinking that I'd like to, well...
What?
Well, I don't know how to say it.
And now, I'll wait it, Judy. After all, we are all friends. You can be frank.
Thanks. Well...
Yes?
Well, don't you think you're a little bit long hair?
Long hair? What do you mean, Judy?
Don't you ever want to let yourself go at the keyboard?
Let myself go?
Get groovy.
Groovy?
Sure. Make with a jive.
You know something, Judy? All my life, I have dreamed of changing my piano style so that I wouldn't have to wear those awful Steve Sargent wing collars every time I play.
Well, Boogie Woogie's the answer. Honest, Mr. Turby, I dreamed about it myself only last night. Get this picture. Carnegie Hall, opening night, thousands of people. Slowly the house lights dim. There's a moment's hush. Everyone's waiting, eyes on stage. Then you come out. A burst of applause. You sit down at the piano, and you start to play. Then you stop. Perhaps it was something that hit me. Perhaps it was something I ate. But out of the blue, I dreamed I met you. And you said to me, "Hiya, Gate." Millions have heard you play Chopin. The critics applaud and approve, but millions more would simply adore to hear you get in the groove, to hear you get in the groove. I said to hear you get.
Really fascinating. Tell me, how can I get in the groove? Gate?
Well, Mr. Turby, you take your left hand and you pound out an 8 beat. Da, 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 da. That's it, you got it. Now double the octave. Now you take your right hand and you go like this.
Like this?
Now roll it, that's the idea. Boy, there's nothing long hair about that, Mr. Turby. Now you're really cooking with Cherno.
Judy, I think you have given me a musical haircut. Well, Professor, let's hit it.
You won't believe it, you'll think it's a dream. To hear them riffing it right on the beat. But when you hear trumpets give out a call, you'll know the joint is really jumping down at Carnegie Hall. Instead of Strauss, they play Irving Berlin. Instead of Brahms, it's begin. Those classic Aggies are due for a fall, cause the joint is really jumping down at Carnegie Hall. They're playing Dietriada, Dietriada, Shostakovich. And they don't know it, cause anything can happen when they start to rock. The Philharmonics were so dignified, but now they're groovy and starting to ride. Handel and Haydn are facing the wall, cause the joint is really jumping down at Carnegie Hall. Tchaikovsky would really be hurt to hear him jiving
his piano pin shirt. Beethoven's lucky, he can't hear at all. God, the joint is really jumping.
Again, man. This is Groucho Marx and family.
Groucho, what do you mean, family?
Well, Bill, when you asked me to appear in this program, I thought it would be a nice gesture if I brought my mother along.
Oh, well, that is a nice gesture, Groucho.
Thanks, Bill. Well, fellas, I don't like to brag about my mother, but I think she represents the typical American mother, and I'd like you to meet her. Mom? Oh, Mom? Would you please come out here to the mic? Oh, Mom? Gentlemen, this is my mother. Gentlemen, this is my mother, Mrs. Betty Grable Marx. Betty, I mean Mom. Mom is blushing. It's been many years since the fellows whistled at her.
Hello, everybody. It's awfully nice to be here.
Mom, I'd like you to meet our announcer, Bill Wolf Goodwin.
My, what a cute little fellow.
Oh, please, Miss Grable, put me down.
Not even in the script.
And how would you like to be my son, Mr. Goodwin?
Yeah, Bill, how would you like to have her for your mother?
Well, I'd like it, and so would my father.
Yes, and so would your grandfather. I'm sure glad I brought you down here with me, Mom. Don't forget, fellas, write to your mother. But don't write to my mother. Look, Bill, isn't she everything I said she was and more?
Yeah, more. But, Groucho, isn't she a little young to be your mother?
Mr. Goodwin, haven't you ever seen a 23-year-old mother before?
Well, yes, but not with a 4F son.
I'm really a 5G. A fellow with two heads. Well, Mom, how do you like being here talking to the men in our armed forces all over the world?
Oh, it's wonderful, Junior. I'm just sorry that I can't be right there to kiss them all goodnight.
Oh, they don't need you. The first sergeant takes care of them.
Oh, gee, I'd like to have someone kiss me goodnight.
Oh, are you lonesome, Mr. Goodwin?
Look, Mom, don't worry about him. He's strong enough to take care of himself. I'm the one who needs babying. You know, Mom, when I look at you, I can never understand why Father left you.
You know, Junior, I'm glad he's gone.
You think he'll ever come back, and what can I do to keep him away?
Well, why did he leave in the first place?
Well, I don't know. You see, right after I adopted Groucho, my husband became insanely jealous.
Yes, and for nothing at all. It all started one day when he walked into my nursery and overheard me telling Mumsy to take out more insurance on him.
And he left home just for that?
Well, that and the fact that I was smoking his cigars.
Oh, now, wait, Groucho. Were you smoking cigars when you were a baby?
Oh, just little cigars, you know. There's nothing like a good cigar after a bottle of warm milk. I used to love to drink my milk and then curdle up in my mother's lap.
Oh, now, isn't that silly? Imagine my husband being jealous of a little baby like Groucho.
Well, Mom, maybe it's best that he left. After all, he did worry you a lot. Why, overnight, your hair turned prematurely blonde.
Groucho, I'd like to adopt Bill Goodwin.
You do a thing like that, and I'll leave home. And I'll take you with me.
Now, Groucho, I'd love to be alone with you for a few minutes.
Betty, what woman wouldn't? I took an awful chance with that line.
Groucho, do you think we could get rid of B-I-L-L-G-O-O-D-W-I-N?
Oh, that's easy. Listen, Bill, if you leave us alone for a few minutes, I'll buy you some I-C-E-K-R-E-A-M.
Oh, all right, I'll go. You don't have to bribe me with cigars.
Well, that takes care of him. Now, Betty, what's on your mind? I know what's on mine.
Well, I don't know how to tell you this, Groucho, but... Well, there's something burning inside of me that I've been wanting to tell you for a long time. Groucho, it's love.
Betty, you've made me the happiest man in the whole world.
Well, but Groucho, you see...
If I had only known, I'd have worn my toupee.
Well, I've got bad news for you, Groucho. It isn't you.
I've got bad news for you, too, Betty. I haven't got a toupee. That's a funny switch, huh?
You know, you're sort of a legendary character, and I understand an expert on love.
I'm a Vine Street Casanova. Well, Betty, I should be an expert on love. I roomed with Tommy Manville for 3 years.
The room must have been awfully crowded.
There's an answer to that, but I can't use it. Now, Betty, what would you like to know about love?
Well, now, look, I've been going with a fellow for a long time, and I can't get him to pop the question.
Betty, perhaps he doesn't love you.
Love me? Why, he's crazy about me. He comes to see me every night.
Does he come alone, or does he bring his wife?
Now, you know I wouldn't go out with a married man.
Well, if you get married, you'll have to go out with a married man. Well, why go out with a married man and break up your home? No, Betty, my advice to you is to marry a single fellow.
But he is a single man, Groucho.
I'm sorry, Betty, but if you want me to be of any assistance, you'll have to tell me everything. Now, why don't you take me through a typical evening at home with your boyfriend? Tell me everything.
Well, all right. Now, let's see. At 8 o'clock, our doorbell rings.
I know. Everybody hides. You think it's the landlord.
I rush over to the door, and there he is, that big hunk of man. I usher him into the living room, and we sit on the couch.
Doesn't he say hello?
He looks at me for a half hour, then I look at him for a half hour.
Well, there's an hour shot to pieces. Now what happens?
Well, after that he tells me all the things he's been doing at the office during the day.
There goes another hour. Now, during this dreary palaver, does he have his arm around you?
No, he can't. My father is sitting on the couch.
That shouldn't stop him from putting his armor on you.
But Father is sitting between us.
Where's your mother?
Oh, well, she went with my brother over to his girl's house.
Your folks certainly trust you, kids. Now, tell me, what happens around 9:30?
Around 9:30, Father takes an apple out of his pocket and starts to polish it.
Does he blow on it first?
Then Charlie sees the moon shining through the window.
You mean Charlie is still awake?
And he suggests that we go out into the garden and sit on the bench.
That's the first smart move he's made. Now, when you're seated on the bench in the garden, does Charlie put his arm around you?
No, he can't. Father is still sitting between us.
Why? What happened to the apple?
But Charlie and I just love it there in the garden. It's so peaceful and quiet. The stars are dancing in the sky, and the moon is shining down on Father's apple.
Doesn't your old man wear a hat?
And the only sound that breaks the stillness of the night is the sound of the frogs as they croak.
I bet Charlie'd like to hear your old man do that.
Now it's about 10:30, and Charlie takes off his gloves.
You know, Charlie sounds like a pretty hot lover. I'll bet by 11 he'll take his hat off.
Then we go back into the house. You see, Father is getting pretty cold.
Imagine by this time, Charlie's getting pretty cold, too.
Now, when we get back in the living room, we all sit down on the couch. Then Father gets bored and starts to yawn.
Are you sure he's bored?
Yes, because by this time Mother has joined us. Oh, yes, and my brother, too.
Must be pretty crowded on the couch by now. Tell me, what's happened to Charlie?
Charlie's sitting on the floor, polishing Father's apple.
How long has this apple been in the family?
Oh, I don't know, Groucho, but I wish you could tell me how I can get Charlie to marry me.
Betty, the solution is very simple. Put your mother and father on the couch. Put your brother on relief. Send Charlie to the fruit store for a bag of apples. Give the apples to your father, pull the bag over Charlie's head, and don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone.
Hey, gang. Listen, if we don't close this letter, we'll miss the mail. We better all sign it so we can seal the envelope.
I'll put down my Jan Hancock, or my Groucho Marx, to be more exact. Yours very truly, John Hancock.
And this is Mrs. Hancock. Fella, here's a little something I wish I could deliver to each one of you in person. It goes like this. Love, Betty Grable.
Yes, ma'am. There are many ways to sign letters. I like to make mine a musical one at the piano. Like this. Very sincerely, Jose Jordi.
That's well, Mr. Turby. That goes for all of us. You know, fellas, we get to sign this letter to you, but actually, we're just holding the pen for your folks and your girlfriend and your kid sister. So I'll sign yours with love. 131,999,999 folks at home, plus Judy Garland.
This is Bill Goodwin saying that's all for mail call this trip. Another letter from home will be coming your way the next time you hear... Mail Call is produced for you servicemen of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America. This program has been a part of our English language shortwave service.